listening to WMUC FM College Park 90.5. This is Moral Hazard, Moral Hazard on WMUC FM 90.5. Today's a Thursday. It's a Thursday at 10 p.m. That's how you know that you are not going to sleep at a normal time today, is because you're tuned in to WMUC 90.5 and 10 p.m. on a Thursday's come on. This is Moral Hazard. I know you missed me. Even if you didn't, you know deep down you did. That's why you're here. That's why you're listening to the archived episode from either the WMUC website or the upcoming Moral Hazard Show website.
Yes.
It's going to be moralhazardshow.com, but it's not there yet. You can't look at it. Right now, you got wc.umd.edu. That's where you can find old episodes if you missed it. If you missed it, you know you were busy doing other things. God knows what you could have been doing.
I truly, it's winter break. There's nothing. It's about to snow.
There's nothing for you to do. You don't have a job.
No.
If you had a job, you wouldn't be listening to college radio on a weeknight.
You would think.
You'd be taking care of your family, perhaps figuring out how to pay off your student loans, not listening to this.
Mm-mm.
We can't help you.
No.
You're too far gone. If you're out of college, you got a job, you're too far gone. Nothing this radio station can do will help you.
Wow, I like that you've almost exclusively in the past said that your listeners were out of college.
But we also need, yes, and that's why I need to alienate them. That's the whole thing we're doing here.
Alienate
the listener base, because what I want is a radio frequency all to myself. No listeners, no one else playing. I got an hour, and it just goes dead. Not a person is even thinking of tuning it to 90.5 FM within a 5-mile radius of this station.
Have you ever tried a journal?
Well, it's more about I want to have a forum to myself that everyone else is scared to go into. You know?
Yeah, that's the same as a journal.
That's not the same as a journal. The journal, you're hiding it from the world.
No.
If you did journaling right, no one would even know you had one.
Well,
what I want is everyone knows 90.5 is an available radio station, but they're too scared to go in for that hour.
Interesting.
It's like The Wire, Omar coming, you know?
I walk
into the radio station, I get on the mic, the entire 5-mile radius turns off their radios. They switch it to 92Q. They switch it to 101.9. Playing Christmas music in January.
That's what you want.
Playing Christmas music in late January.
Of course. 90.5. Of course. We could play Christmas music.
Yeah. We could, but this is a secular broadcast.
Okay, fair enough. We could play holiday music.
We can't play holiday music.
But it's secretly just all Christmas music.
We're actually, as part of our deep state liberal agenda, we actually have to do a war on Christmas and a war on holidays. You can't have
all
fun.
Holidays?
It's not a war on Christmas so much as it's a war on fun.
But I've been writing an Arbor Day song.
What is Arbor Day?
I don't
trees?
I don't know.
There's a holiday for trees?
Dude, that's the best part. I don't know. I know it's the holiday people refer to when they're talking about some random holiday. I don't know what it is.
Is that just Christmas? But it's just centered around the pine tree?
I have no idea what Arbor Day is.
Then why would you bring it up? We do news here. We do well-informed news here. As you can see, I've got 7 pages of notes.
That's 3.
Stop. They can't know. I don't actually have
notes. And the first page is just half spaces and line breaks. And now you're sneezing. Look at this.
I'm not sneezing.
This is incredibly unprofessional.
I hit the dump button so they wouldn't hear me sneeze.
You did not hit the dump button.
I hit the dump button. Welcome to Moral Hazard, dear listener. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We did our 4 minutes of dilly-dallying. It's time to lock in. It's time to listen to the radio. It's time to talk about the news. It's time to talk about business news. Welcome to Moral Hazard. I'm your host, Stephen Fung, joined by co-host Emma Newkirk.
Yes.
She will be removed. Don't worry. Her tenure is limited. We're taking notes of the ratings as they come in. We're monitoring the situation as it stands right now.
Yeah.
She will be transferred
to
the main Bloomberg office in New York. Yeah, she will be a page for Michael Bloomberg.
Oh, come on.
You have to fetch him his foot
cream. Anything else.
You have to fetch him his foot cream and his Bengay.
Anything else.
Yeah.
And his Bengay?
Bengay.
Oh.
Bengay, the cream.
I'm sorry. I heard beignet.
I know you did. Of course you heard that. Of course you heard food.
Steven, enough of this.
Yeah. All right, well, yeah, what is Moral Hazard something? Moral Hazard's light in your darkness, something, something. We do business news. We do business news, economics, sometimes a little politics, but as it pertains to the economy, mostly. We do a little social stuff. We do some culture, you know, we do culture war
do
a little.
We?
It's fun. I get to talk about Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you and should... I hate him.
It's less cultures and more just you talking it's about less, things you dislike.
It's less culture and it's more of that Family Guy, you know what, grinds my gears segment.
Yeah. Yeah. You did the same thing with Tony P. Except we're more optimistic about Tony P.
We're not. We're less optimistic.
Nope.
Less optimistic. It's been going downhill. Tony.
Well,
Tony, if you ever need help, if you ever need advice, I know you can hear me. I know you're within the range. I know you're within the range of this radio station, Tony. If you ever need help on finding out how to make good Instagram reels, just talk to me. I'll get you set up. We'll get you the glasses with the camera on them.
Meta glasses?
Yeah, we'll get you Meta glasses and a Rainbet sponsorship. We'll have you go out under random overpasses in Baltimore and hand out fireball shooters.
Wait, can we get Tony P Meta glasses and have him try to do parkour around the city?
But like Michael Scott style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I would enjoy that.
I feel like we're talking about someone that no one else knows who we're talking about right
Everyone
now.
Everyone knows Tony P.
Well, look, this is like Howard Stern, you know? We have to torture the audience a little. But you can look him up. Tony P.
In D.C.
Anthony Polcari. D.C. legend. Legend amongst the DC
independent consultant working on a Super Bowl commercial right now. Yeah. So I've heard.
Yeah, amongst the DC yuppie crowd, he is infamous.
Mm-hmm.
He is infamous. So you know, if you don't know who he is, well, maybe you just need to get a job.
Oh, God, that was terrible. Don't do that again.
We are live from the WMUC studio in South Campus Dining Hall. Got a little asbestos project going on. It's nothing that bad.
I think it's over now. Yeah, I think they got it.
They removed all the asbestos. I found it in a bucket outside, and I just started ripping that stuff. I put it in my shake. I put it in my smoothie. Shook
yeah, you
it
found
up,
it.
Protein. Yeah,
you found the word.
Yeah,
I'm proud of you.
But we don't have a UMD alum of the week.
No,
we don't have one.
No,
there aren't that many. I think we ran out of them. We got.
We could do a UMD future alum of the week.
Future alum of the week. Just pick out people who are currently here that I hate,
or people that you really like and that are really cool.
Well,
that
we
you just want to like shout
out. Look, I think we've gone through all the UMD alum because we already got Larry David. We got Jim Henson.
Mm-hmm.
We did Under Armour, Kevin Plank.
Did we do my dad yet?
I think we did do your dad at one point.
Okay, well, I wanted to talk about how he's getting into planking.
Well, I think that's honorable. Well, yeah, we did your dad. We did Carly Fiorina.
Mm-hmm.
We did the lady that shot Andy Warhol, Valerie Solanas.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the guy who's on the Epstein files.
Yeah.
Sergey Brin.
That's
so I think
many.
We ran out of all UMD notable alum. If you yeah. know a UMD notable alum or are one, feel free to call in. Don't. I still don't know how to answer the phone.
That's rough.
But last week, two weeks ago, we figured out that the phone does work, but I don't know how to connect it to the board, and I don't know how to hear anything out of it. So.
And that's unfortunate.
Yeah, there's really not much going on. But we got news. We got news. News happened. News happened in the past week. Or so. What happened last week? So technically, we could do 2 weeks of news. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, you all want to get started on something that happened this week?
Sure. I don't know what happened this week.
What happened this week?
I was taking a nap while you were researching this episode.
You were taking a nap the whole week.
No, while you were researching this episode, I was taking a nap.
The whole week you took a nap. No. Well, you know, we all know what's going on recently. I hope you do. You know, the U.S. has made, has fought a war on all fronts for Greenland. Everyone loves Greenland, right? Over the past week, Donald Trump and his administration have been in a 4D chess match on all fronts for an attempted annexation of Greenland. Yeah, for those of you who don't know Greenland, it's the giant, inhospitable island that's full of ice.
Mm-hmm.
There's no trees, no nothing, just ice.
Yeah.
You know, there's like polar bears. There's maybe 40,000 people living on the entire, you know, the entire subcontinent of Greenland. And we want it, apparently. We want it really bad.
Apparently.
Which I don't get. I don't know why the United States needs to have a giant island filled with ice. I feel like we got enough ice in the United States already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
got the cold front coming in. South Carolina is going to get hit. Make sure you guys are prepping. Make sure you guys are bunkering. You guys are hunkering down. You guys are all have your apocalypse prep.
Yeah. Have you done your apocalypse prep?
Remember, what?
Have you?
I bought a whole chicken and some pasta and some other stuff.
Wow.
But yes, if you are not prepared for the snowstorm that is coming on Saturday night, please prepare. All right, this could be one of those big ones that you get trapped in for a while. God forbid your power goes out. At least you'd want to have food, right?
Yeah.
Don't die or anything like that. We need you so that we can pad our listener statistics.
How are they right now? I feel like...
We don't even talk about that.
Okay.
We don't even talk about that.
Okay.
We have been making up our listener statistics for shareholders for months.
Oh.
We have just been doing like the Enron, like padded accounts and all that. Right. Yeah. We actually learned this from Charlie Javis. Her startup, Frank, pioneered fake users, and we're really getting into that method. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, but make sure you're doing your apocalypse prep. You know, get your food, get your blankets. Maybe if you needed like home defense, you know, you could get like a landmine or something like that. Put that outside your door in case people want your food. You get them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, because in the snow, no one can hear you scream. So you've got to make sure that you're protecting yourself.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Where'd you learn that?
It was experiment. You learned through experimentation. I had a hypothesis. If I scream in the snow, no one will hear me.
Are you screaming into the snow or just standing outside while it's snowing?
Oh, screaming into the snow.
Okay.
Put your face in the snow and scream.
Okay.
And no one can hear you scream.
Wow. That's so cool.
So, guys, make sure that you're protecting yourselves. In case anyone comes into your house.
Yeah.
Maybe they're armed. Maybe they're, it's a welfare check.
Yeah.
Make sure you're ready to defend yourself.
Maybe they're
against
armed.
The social worker.
Maybe they're armed. Maybe they're amputated. You never know.
Why would they be amputated? Oh, because they're not armed.
Because they're not
armed. Yeah. Well, that joke disarmed me. Yeah. Nice. Very good.
You don't seem to like it very much.
But yeah. Yeah, you know, anyways, back to Greenland. I don't really get it, you know. But at the same time, who am I to say that Donald Trump is not entitled to the rights to Santa's workshop?
Sure.
I think if...
Is that where Santa's
where there's
workshop
a will,
is?
There's a way. Where else would Santa's workshop be? Huh? Toronto?
I don't know. There's like...
It's Greenland. He's on the North Pole.
Okay. Sure.
Where's the North Pole? Greenland. Bam.
Okay.
It's on the little bulb in Greenland.
Okay.
It's the North Pole.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Sure.
But yeah, Santa's workshop's there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we get Greenland, we get Santa's workshop, we get Santa, we get the elves, you know, all of that.
Of course.
But yeah, so anyways, the Trump admin has had an eye on the annexation of Greenland. Trump and the Trump admin have had an eye on annexing Greenland for quite some time. Dating back to Trump's first term, there was an attempt, or at least an intent to annex Greenland, but to no avail. I mean, the U.S. has tried to get Greenland since, like, the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't worked. I mean, we already got Alaska. Who cares? But Greenland is owned and in the custody of Denmark. It really is, like, a custody thing because Denmark essentially subsidizes the residents of Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
Because what else do they get? They have nothing.
Yeah.
They have nothing. They're essentially, like, a... 40,000 people living in huts.
Yeah.
Without Denmark, you know, without Denmark helping out the people of Greenland, they're essentially just living, they would just be like living in igloos.
Yeah.
Yeah. And doing nothing. Literally, they would have as much economic opportunity as like a seal.
Mm-hmm.
you get fish and that's it. But yeah, so Denmark has been open to the U.S. becoming more involved in Greenland, increasing its presence, whether military, you know, mining rights. But they have made it completely clear, entirely clear, that there would be no exchange of territory with the, you know, with the U.S. for Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Greenland stays with Denmark. That's the rights to it, you know, forever with Denmark is essentially their view. And so naturally, Denmark going, you can't have that. And Donald Trump saying, I want this very specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be an escalation. And we saw an escalation. This week was really a massive curve of a narrative in the battle for Denmark. Because on Tuesday marked that climax of, you know, there were upended trade deals, threats of tariffs, and, you know, eventual implications of military capture of Greenland and military annexation. And so that rattled Denmark, that rattled NATO, that rattled the EU, and it led to a major standoff, like where the, you know, that climax on Tuesday. That was really when Emmanuel Macron, French president, yeah, no, he's not prime minister, president
yeah.
of France, Emmanuel Macron, suggested that the EU finally got around to using its anti-coercion measure, its anti-coercion mm-hmm. instrument. And essentially what that is, it's economic strategy they had come up with in case any country were to try to coerce them into doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they would do that is through limiting investment and trade with key sectors to the aggressor, in this case the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
amounting to tens, if not hundreds of billions
mm-hmm.
in, you know, foregone trade each year.
Yeah.
And so this came up last year when we were doing the whole trade deal dispute with the EU
mm-hmm.
over tariffs. It was brought up and it wasn't used. Eventually, EU capitulated to Trump's tariff policies and essentially agreed to, I think, 15% across the board with no reciprocal,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, say what you will about the blob, but, you know, he really kind of cooked on that tariff policy. Everyone thought that it was just going to be tariff, reciprocal.
Mm-hmm.
He really did end up bullying EU into taking the L on those tariffs.
Yeah.
And that was honestly embarrassing. He embarrassed the EU.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even do like sell America. The stock market rallied after that in the U.S. There was no disinvestment on bonds. There was no bond sell-off, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. just took a W on that one. Unfortunately, things are looking a bit rougher this go around. It looks like there was a very serious consideration to using the anti-coercion tool. Emmanuel Macron really heavily pushed it. But perhaps, unfortunately, right as something new was about to happen in the world,
mm-hmm.
And things were about to change, nothing changed and nothing happened.
Of course.
As nothing ever does.
Yeah.
Donald Trump on Wednesday ended up walking back all the threats, mm-hmm. including the tariff threats, against the EU for Greenland, walked back his claim or his desire to annex and agreed to concepts of a plan for a deal with Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
And as that's getting finalized, we're getting more details on it. It's not completely finalized. They have agreed to a framework that would allow the U.S. to increase its military presence and give it mining rights.
Okay.
And that might seem like a win for the U.S., right? Because, I mean, we didn't have to pay anything. We didn't get the coercion tool. We just got it after, like, all that, you know, heartbreak. Unfortunately, the U.S. already has military presence and mining rights, and it seemed like Greenland was already willing to give that up without having to go through that whole rigmarole.
Yeah.
It looks like they were honestly very quick. Like, last week, they were like, you know, we're willing to give the U.S., you know, allow the U.S. to have an increased presence, but we don't really know what Trump wants right now.
Yeah.
Because, like, we don't think that the demand for the entirety of Greenland is serious.
Yeah.
And, like, you already had mining rights. I don't know how you're getting more mining rights. You already gave mining rights to an American company with a deal that China would not get it. So I don't understand what the new mining rights is. And then military presence, like, what else do you want? You could have just asked for it. We didn't get anything out of it. And now we've lost the trust of the entirety of the EU.
Mm.
We're definitely going to see a bond sell-off from Denmark at the least. The EU is already not very happy with us. And how long are you going to bully them? On the other hand, the EU is quite literally filled with some of the most weak sauce countries in the world.
Yeah.
In the world. They're so weak. They're so... They can't defend themselves. They literally can't do anything.
Yeah.
The EU can't do anything. Britain is in... The UK is in shambles. Spain is in shambles. Italy's in shambles. Greece is in shambles. The Scandinavian countries don't have... Can't lift a single muscle to defend themselves.
Yeah.
Ukraine's doing well, though. But, yeah. I mean, that's with the backing of largely the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see how the EU does. It is funny because Zelensky, I think it was today, Zelensky went up and gave an address to the EU, or I believe it was to NATO, and he essentially said, you guys are letting him walk all over you.
Yeah.
Like, this is embarrassing, which is crazy because his country is, like, getting blown to smithereens.
Yeah.
But he's not letting him walk all over him, so, you know, gotta give him credit. Honestly, the best person to deliver that message. But, you know, we still have, in the midst of this escalation, there was a trade deal on Tuesday that got frozen. That was like part of the climax. The EU froze a trade deal that was going to happen with the US. The trade deal has been unfrozen, but it still needs to be ratified. And pending ratification, it is clear that Europe, especially as when we're looking at the remarks made by the statesmen of the EU nations, it's clear that they are not as big a fan of the United States anymore, and they will be, you know, maintaining their guard around the United States at least as so long as the Trump administration remains.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I believe one of the was a Denmark minister of finance said that you know, we're still waiting to see details on the Greenland deal before we go ahead and ratify. It was some minister from one of the EU nations. I don't think it was Denmark. But yeah. On Tuesday, markets had their worst day overall since October's tariff threats. They slid around 2%. But the next day, when, you know, Trump walked everything back, we had a quick rebound. And thus far in the week, we are ending down less than 1%.
Okay.
So, you know, not terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still some losses to be paired from Monday, because, you know, this escalation has been a long time coming. We've really only bounced back from the lows of Tuesday.
Mm.
And we're, you know, that being said, the market did hit an all-time high 2 weeks ago. We're still not that far from that high.
Yeah.
You know, I think the market seems to be in a decent enough spot right now. I mean, considering we hit an all-time high, we almost destroyed the entirety of our relationship with the EU, and, you know, we're still close to a record high.
Mm-hmm.
It's something very remarkable about the stock market going on right now, and I would love to figure out what it is.
Mm-hmm. You had a ton of Christmas content in these notes.
Can you stop spoiling my stuff? Oh, my God.
You already passed it.
No, I'm right here.
We already talked about Santa's workshop.
This will be Emma's last episode. I'm kidding. Okay, yes. We did have some Christmas content coming up. Because all of this grief over Greenland does have us wondering at Moral Hazard. What could Donald Trump need Greenland for so bad that he was willing to destroy our relationship with Europe? Yeah?
Yeah.
And, you know, as we mentioned before, Santa's workshop, taking it over could be, could allow for the U.S. to kind of regain its footing in consumer goods manufacturing. If we got the elves, that could help us compete with those sweatshop economies. You know, they work for free. What do they get? Candy canes?
I don't think they
do. How do they don't get
the candy
anything?
Candy canes are from a vending machine.
So how did they, what do we pay the elves with? Do they just get toys for themselves?
I think they
too?
Get housing, maybe.
So it sounds like slavery.
Yeah,
but you know,
unfortunately, I think it is.
But it's fine though because Santa's actually Danish, so when he does it, it's fine.
When he does it, it's okay.
When he does it, it's cool because it's European.
Mm-hmm.
It's chic.
Of course.
We could also harness Santa's reindeer, and that could like. That could replace the Boeing planes
mm-hmm.
and, like, the whole crashing issue with the 747s.
Mm-hmm.
You just replace it with reindeer. You have Rudolph tow the plane.
Okay.
He can see through the storm with his nose. That replaces IVR.
Sure. Let's clarify, though. Rudolph has no, like, pulling power as a reindeer. He is simply a light.
Why can't he pull as a reindeer?
He's
all
not
the other
good
reindeer
at it. He's
pull.
Like the runt.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a little shiny... They never said he's little.
I'm sorry. If you've seen any adaptation, you know Rudolph is tiny.
Well, thank God we only use source material here, right?
Okay.
But, you know, with reindeer power...
Of course.
We could also find out who ran over Randy Brooks' grandma. And we can arrest and execute them.
Of course.
Whatever reindeer.
Yeah. It was Rudolph.
It was Rudolph who did that?
Yeah.
I mean, he was leading.
Yeah.
But would he do... I feel like he's got the nose, though. I feel like this could be more like an eggnog and driving situation.
No.
Like maybe Prancer got out late at night.
There was malice
back.
Behind it.
Prancer was coming back from the...
From the what?
From the forest. You know, he was at a forest party.
Oh, of course.
And he had a little too much eggnog, and he ran over grandma. And, you know.
Do reindeers throw like forest parties? What about barn parties? Do they do barn parties?
I don't think reindeer live in barns.
Well, yeah.
I feel like they live. Well,
of course
at least
they don't
Santa,
live in barns, Stephen. But
Santa's
throw
reindeer
barn parties.
Santa's reindeer probably don't go in barns because they're like free spirits.
Okay, fair.
I think Santa only enslaves humans, not reindeer.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, besides Christmas, we don't have to do all Christmas stuff. Mm-hmm. What else could we get out of Greenland? What is there? I need all of us to think really hard. What is there in Greenland that we can get that's so valuable? You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Christmas. Think. Thunk.
Thunk?
What is in Greenland?
I don't
there,
know.
The Northern Lights.
Okay.
Bottle it. Sell
we,
it.
We can't do that.
Consumer goods. Raise the GDP. We'll bottle and sell Northern Lights. Kids would love it. Kids will love it.
Okay. You know you can't do that, though, right?
Who says...
Science?
Have you been... Oh, science? Oh, sorry. Is science... Can you text science and ask him? Can someone ask science why we can't bottle the Northern Lights? Oh, that's right, because science doesn't exist.
Oh, okay.
Science is just what some guys made up because they felt like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they felt like lying.
Sure.
Science is when a five-year-old goes on the playground and says that his dad said, if you chew gum with your mouth open, it's going to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, fair enough. I don't know anything about science. I didn't learn science until high school. And that's a fact.
Yeah, well... That's just your opinion, man. I think you learned more science before you went to high school than anything else.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Divine, was it? Intelligent design?
Yeah. But it was also young earth creationism, which is a whole different can of worms.
What is young earth creationism?
The earth is only 6,000 years old.
Oh.
The earth is young.
So where are the dinosaurs?
They were buried rapidly in Noah's flood, and that's why we think they're very old.
Okay. They were all buried at the same time?
Yeah. That's how they died.
So what about, the tar pits? Is that from a tar flood?
Yeah, the water just dried different there.
Okay, yeah. All right, got you. This is interesting. I have to learn more about it, because this sounds like interesting science. I think I like this science.
Yeah, I can give you... I still have the textbooks.
You have they have textbooks?
Yeah.
They wrote this out. I thought this
from
sounded
Bob Jones University.
This sounded more like an oral tradition.
No. It's like PragerU.
Okay. Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
We respect PragerU here.
Yeah. Yeah.
From one university to another.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, I would rather have Dennis Prager as my university president than Daryl Pines.
Really?
Yeah.
Aw, poor Daryl Pines.
Yeah, well, you know what? Dennis Prager didn't plagiarize anything because he didn't write anything.
All right.
But I don't think Daryl Pines didn't plagiarize anything either, apparently, right?
That's what the report says. No, it was dismissed.
The report was like, actually, we didn't find anything.
Yeah.
But I want to see the report.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
Don't release the Epstein files. Release the Daryl Pines plagiarism report.
I've heard that Daryl Pines plagiarism report is in the Epstein.
Of course.
No, Daryl Pines. We're kidding.
We're kidding.
We're kidding.
We know you're in range.
We know. Yeah, we know you. You of all people are listening to. He lives under the South Campus dining hall.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's. I don't like that.
Yeah. Release the Daryl Pines files. I don't even understand that. What even is the accusation?
I don't know.
They're like,
I think they're just like, he plagiarized some of this.
They're like, he copy-pasted like an intro.
Yeah, it was like
It was on Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro was talking
I
about it.
I thought it was in like the abstract or something.
I don't even know. I also think
if it's in the abstract, that's hilarious.
They find no misconduct evidence.
Yeah, I have no clue what the accusation was.
I find no evidence that there is no evidence of misconduct. Actually.
Yeah.
The fact that they hired like a top law firm.
That's nuts.
Ropes and Gray to review it is ridiculous. You know how much that probably costs the university like over $200,000.
Mm.
That investigation alone.
It was in the intro.
It was in the intro?
It was select portions. Scroll up. Select portions of text previously published by another author in the introduction.
Yeah. This is. Yeah, I don't care. Who even reported this? Who found this? This is from like 2002 and 2006.
I don't know.
Who found this and was like, you know what? Ben Shapiro needs to see this. I can think of people.
I can think of
people who would absolutely do that. Actually,
yeah,
yeah,
of course,
yeah.
And then it's like a big gotcha thing.
Yeah, yeah. Just find like a random. They're like, oh, this intro. I've seen this one before. I've actually seen you. There's three sentences in your intro right here actually look exactly like something I read 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Ben Shapiro, excuse me, teacher. Teacher, Mr. Pines is copying off other
students. It is the dumbest thing.
Oh, that's so lame.
It is the dumbest thing.
Who actually took the time to read Daryl Pines' stupid aerospace paper, which I guarantee was about the dumbest thing in the world.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Aerospace? Really?
Was he aerospace?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure he was aerospace. That's crazy to me. I didn't realize
that.
Yeah,
he's an engineer. But I guarantee it was nothing new. I guarantee it was genuinely talking about something that someone already wrote about.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, copied the intro, send it off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Something's got to be wrong with you to go through Daryl Pines' papers. But now I think about it, I should just go through everyone's papers.
Everyone's?
I should plagiarism check everything. Dude, and Matt, I could become the next Ben Shapiro off that. That's a career making. I could be the next Nick, whatever the guy who did the Somali daycares.
Yeah.
Forgot what his name is. Nick Shirley?
Nick something.
Nick Shirley. Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who did the Somali daycare. I could be that guy. But for professors plagiarizing stuff.
Yeah.
I'm gonna knock on random professors' doors. They open the door. I'm like, on this paper, I've seen these three sentences before, actually.
You're just gonna be the jerk who, like, during syllabus week, they're running through the syllabus. You go, Professor, I actually have a question.
Actually, Professor Spiros, I have a question. It says here that you're a professor, but actually you're an academic cheat and everyone hates you. Professor Spiros, why does it say here that you're a good professor? But it says, I also have here that your wife divorced you.
Whoa!
Professor Spiros, what's this picture of your wife going into this motel with your brother?
No! That's devastating!
Yeah, well, that's the kind of energy we're bringing into the spring semester.
Uh-huh. You know, the whole time you're just failing the class.
It's my senior year. I need to do something to get on Fox News.
Okay.
I need to do a culture war. I need to become a culture war talking point.
Sure.
Like Nick Shirley.
Of course.
I need everyone thinking, and we got it. You know what? We've got to blame a demographic group for something that everyone does. I think that's the formula.
Yeah.
But no one else wants to admit that everyone else does it. So they just get mad at that other demographic group.
Got it. Yeah.
I'm thinking like, all right, hold on. Give me a demographic group.
You want me to give you a demographic group?
Yeah. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be like,
okay.
It doesn't have to be a particular
ethnicity.
Let's
start with like women.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Let's start with women.
So we're going to do a breakout piece of journalism that says, all right, we got women. All right. Give me an age range.
50 to 70.
All right. So what would that be? Like Gen?
That's late Gen X.
Yeah, late Gen X to boomer.
Yeah.
Women.
Uh-huh.
Are actually shoplifting.
Whoa.
They are shoplifting. They're career shoplifters.
Whoa.
They have organizations of shoplifting groups, and they kind of disguise it as maternity support groups.
Interesting.
So they have the baby.
Uh-huh.
And how do you think that women are able to afford baby formula?
These are post-menopausal women.
And they're stealing.
Why would they be having so many baby showers? They're post. This is a group of post-menopausal women in
and
their 50s
the
to
thing.
70s.
That's the thing.
Actually,
they shouldn't
Usha
be,
Vance is in her 40s.
They shouldn't be doing it. Like, it doesn't make sense. It's like daycares with no people in it. These women have no egg, but they're having kid and stealing stuff.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do a paper.
Women ages 50 to 70 have kid and steal stuff.
You are laughing, but this is how you make it in today's political landscape. You have to accuse a random group so everyone gets mad at them.
I have terrible news for you, though.
Postmenopausal women are shoplifting
I have terrible news.
And disguising it, what?
That story's sort of already been done a lot.
Has it been done?
Not necessarily exactly the same thing, but like...
Things happen sometimes. Sometimes some people need a little soap in their mouths. Sometimes those people are Emma Newkirk, who has forced me to delete 8 seconds of perfectly good audio because she has a problem, because she's not a feminist, because she's a misogynist, hates postmenopausal women. Look, they don't shoplift. That was a lie, but we need to fight on that lie.
Okay.
We need to fight on that lie. And it works perfectly because, you know, what's a stereotype, right?
I don't know.
When Nick Shirley blames Somalis
uh-huh.
for stealing things, he goes, what's the stereotype? Is that Somalis are pirates.
Uh-huh.
Like, and so, yeah, it makes sense that Somalis would do fraud in the United States. You can't trust them. Exactly. So what's the stereotype about women? Women be shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies be shopping.
Uh-huh.
And so what we're going to do is that we're going to say, ladies be shoplifting. Ladies
yes.
be shopping lifting.
Shopping and, lifting?
And so this is kind of like this is a cross between like Somalis are eating cats and stealing daycare money.
Yeah.
It's a cross between that and Iraq has nuclear missiles. We need to invade.
Sure.
This is kind of a cross. So really what we're saying is not like deport all the women. It's like we need to invade the nursing homes. We need to invade Portland, Oregon.
Mm.
And we need to take out the leader of these women.
Yeah.
Hillary Rodham Clinton.
She's the leader?
She's the leader.
Really?
She's the leader. You know,
actually,
you notice
yeah,
all those
I
voted for her stickers?
Yeah.
It's a dog whistle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's yeah. a dog whistle for what?
It's a dog whistle for shoplifting.
I voted for her as a dog whistle for shoplifting.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, she did try to steal the election, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough.
7 million unmarked ballots Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yeah.
She's being held in contempt by the House.
Yeah,
because her and her lovely husband.
Uh huh.
Honestly,
what they wouldn't testify about the Epstein
yeah they wouldn't filed? They wouldn't testify. Couple goals though, couple goals. Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. Just so badly behaved, and then
I don't understand why they're still together.
Just well, they stand behind it, and I respect that.
I do think that's interesting.
Have you seen photos of Bill Clinton at Yale?
No.
When it was, like, early with him and Hillary.
No.
Like, I would absolutely expect that guy to be in the Epstein files.
Yeah.
And what people don't understand is that when they see the Epstein files, they think of, like, a evil supervillain.
Yeah.
That's going, how am I going to do the most evil thing? Mm-hmm. No, that's not what Epstein Island is like. Epstein Island is like the weird kid that you knew in high school.
Yeah.
Got a lot of money and he's still weird and he's going to do very strange things.
Yeah.
Because he's a child of divorce.
He's just acting out.
Imagine.
The Epstein Files is just real.
Yeah. Bill Clinton is at the Senate hearing. He's like, I'm actually a child of divorce. It's not my fault. I'm a child of divorce.
That's nuts. That is nuts.
The like child of divorce is one of the funniest things to like blame your like acting out on.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding? You can't handle the idea. Like, why would that mess up a kid that badly?
I understand if it's, like, an immediate thing where, like, a kid is just going through a lot of change and they start being disruptive in school. But once you get to a certain age...
I could see child of divorce being an issue if your dad and your mom literally tried to kill each other. Like...
I feel like I also understand... Yeah, no.
Like, it has to be... It has to be... It has to be very acrimonious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your mom and your dad have to, like, fight over custody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they're doing
the
really shady stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's when, like, I could say maybe a child divorce. Yeah. You know, I'll give you 5 years. You have a 5-year grace period to get your act straight.
Yeah.
But like after that, you've got to suck it up, man.
Yeah.
Not everyone gets a permanent get out of jail free for every single kind of trauma that exists in the world. Okay.
Yeah. There are kids writing essays about their parents getting divorced, and their parents got divorced when they were like 4 years old. They're writing their college essay about
it. Like,
which, like, I get it if it was like traumatic in the way that like they were violent or something like that happened.
But you were four years old.
What do you remember?
You could maybe talk about when CPS came in with guns and took you away hostage style so your parents couldn't do anything. Yeah, maybe you can talk about that.
That's fine.
But like, I don't know. I think we've got, there's a plight in the United States of like mildly college educated to not college educated, individuals in the United States, playing up their trauma and thinking that it's literally like, I actually can't do anything. Hey, actually, I can't do anything. Sorry.
Yeah.
What is that eating disorder where you just can't, you're just averse to what random foods?
ARFID. Yeah.
What is that? That's like, I actually, I can only eat chicken tenders. Actually, I can only eat from the kids menu at the restaurant.
I'm telling you, it's like...
It's trauma, and you actually have to resolve that by only feeding me burgers.
You just have to go to therapy.
No, Arvid, you just have to grow up, eat your vegetable. am I not wrong on that? I mean,
you do kind of just need to go to therapy.
Is it not like an eat your vegetables thing? Like, I don't...
Like, there is a mental block. There is some, like, imagine having, like, a panic attack every time you eat a certain kind of food. Like, you gotta go to therapy.
I'm sorry. I'm just imagining someone breaking down crying in the restaurant
because they didn't want
to eat asparagus.
Well, no, it's less that and more like you think you're allergic to everything.
I don't believe that. That's made up. That is so made up. If you think you're allergic to everything, that's maybe schizophrenia. But, like, I'm thinking about, like, ARFID. I can't eat vegetables, actually. Sorry.
That's not ARFID.
Sorry.
That's not ARFID. That's just being a picky eater.
I don't know.
You can keep reading that article.
It does say it's not the same as picky eating.
Yeah.
But then what is ARFID?
It's its own thing. It's a disorder.
Is it a disorder? Or is it just something that people, like, said is a thing and it's not actually a thing?
I think it's a thing.
How many people have ARFID?
Is this the game we're playing today?
Do you have ARFID? You can't eat vegetables?
No, I'm fine with vegetables. Okay. This is a ridiculous thing that we're doing. Do you want me to go to a PSA?
One research, other research found, what's ASD? I don't know what that is. I don't know. Who cares? ARFID's stupid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. I feel like a lot of it's also, like, an OCD thing.
Okay, I think it might just be picky eating because it's more common in children.
Yes, because children go to therapy to deal with it. That's what you do when you have issues with food as a child.
I think people just need to grow up.
Okay.
I think people just need to grow up. I'm not equivocating on this. You got to eat your vegetables.
All right.
You got to get through it. I don't understand why. First of all, CBT is a. I, I don't believe anything that said, I don't believe in any disease where the remedy is CBT.
Mm-hmm.
That is so ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
That is, I don't believe in CBT. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it.
Okay.
That's my stance. That's my official stance. If you need to go in, you can talk to literally anyone. If talking to people solves a problem, brother, you could have gotten through that yourself too. Mm-hmm. That's a you problem. You got to eat your veggies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I stand on that.
Okay.
I stand on that.
You can stand on it.
You got to eat your veggies. Stop going. Stop. Stop. Just put away the kids' menu. Okay. Uh-huh. That asparagus isn't going to hurt you. But they do think the asparagus is going to hurt them.
Asparagus isn't that great.
Yeah.
I just don't like it, though. Why are you looking at me weird? I eat other vegetables.
I think the ARFID is among us.
Okay.
You're sus. You're sus for ARFID. Okay. I think you're the ARFID imposter.
Yeah.
Anyways, we got another thing. So, ignore Greenland. Forget Greenland. We got to talk about this before we got to go. Because credit cards. Donald Trump's administration has had a little baby war on credit cards. And he wants to cap interest rates at 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we got to do a PSA. But when I come back, I've got something very special to show you. All right? Something so special. So super duper special that you're gonna love it. But we actually have a PSA, and we want to talk about the campus pantry because there's food for you.
Campus Pantry is a free resource available for all UMD students, faculty, and staff experiencing food insecurity. It is open 5 days a week from 10 to 5 and is located on the ground floor of the South Campus Dining Building next to the Common Shop. You must swipe your university ID before entering and check out before leaving. Make sure to bring your own reusable bag. For more information, you can visit the UMD Campus Pantry website at campuspantry.umd.edu. That's campuspantry.umd.edu.
All right, yes, and get your veggies from the Campus Pantry. Always. I've got a very special video to show you, or a clip. We have a very special clip that came across our terminal today. So, as you know, you may not know, the World Economic Forum is happening right now in Davos, Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
All the financiers from across the world are coming to weigh in on things, and they're especially weighing in on Donald Trump's new war on credit cards with a 10% interest rate cap. Right now, credit card interest rates are anywhere from 24 to 28%.
Mm-hmm.
That's high.
Yeah.
The average credit card balance in the United States is, what, $4,000?
I don't know.
It's $4,000 revolving balance. I mean, 28% of that annually. That adds up a lot across the United States.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a very costly, and there's a definitely a cause to limit that for the general well-being of Americans in the United States, prevent them from getting sucked into that trap.
Mm-hmm.
But, as you know, obviously, lenders aren't really for that.
Yeah.
We'll get to the clip in a minute. We'll talk about another voice in the finance industry is Richard Fairbank. That's the CEO of Capital One.
Mm-hmm.
He is he's an interesting guy. I heard him at a talk over the summer when I was interning. But you know, it's a common talking point. The lobby is consolidated on what the talking points are, what the arguments are for keeping credit card interest rates unencumbered. And from Richard Fairbank says, quote, putting a price control in place such as the proposed rate cap would not make credit more affordable. It would make credit much less available for consumers up and down the credit spectrum, end quote. CEO Richard Fairbank said Thursday. Here's the issue with that. Do we want subprime lending to be this out of control? Do we want subprime consumer lending? I think that's ridiculous. I think that is bad for the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see people with crazy credit card debt.
Yeah.
It is impossible to get around to paying it off. Americans do not have savings.
Yeah.
Americans are quite literally, on average, living paycheck to paycheck now.
Mm-hmm.
The BEA collects data on how much Americans are saving.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, as of last month, Americans are saving, on average, 3.5% of their take-home pay.
That's not great.
Each paycheck. Yeah.
That's not great.
3.5%. That's nothing. 2 years ago, it was 6.4%. We are almost half what we were two years ago.
Whoa.
And 6.4% is already pretty low.
Yeah.
But at least you're kind of close to 10% there. Now we're close to 5%.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not there. It's bad. Things are unaffordable. No one has savings. Mm-hmm. Nothing. This is a tightening of the general population of the United States, where now you are forced
mm-hmm.
to keep working. And when you can't work, you die.
Yeah.
When you can't work, you die. You get your credit and you run it out and you're done. Because imagine you are saving 3.5%.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that with a full credit card balance. Normally, your credit card limit will go up. I mean, on a $60,000 salary, your credit card limit could be around $8,000 to $10,000.
Yeah, that sounds right.
You've got, let's say, $9,000 in credit card balance. You are paying 28% APR on that. Let's say that's around $2,520.
Mm-hmm.
Divided by your $60,000 salary, that is already 4%.
That's
your take. That's 4% of your annual salary. There goes your 3.5.
Yeah.
You die.
I mean, that's
you die.
Yeah.
You can't pay that. You can't pay that. That's an interest only.
Yeah.
That's an interest only. That's not even paying down the principal. You know, look. That's neither here nor there. Richard Fairbank, you've got to protect your company's interest. You know, I'm not going to fault you. I mean, but we've got another CEO to weigh in an even more incredible way. Brian Moynihan, CEO of Bank of America, weighs in at Davos to Bloomberg Talks. We just want to run this part of the clip for you.
Stuff that people might attribute, that is low rate. It's not all the way down at that rate. So I think the question is, can we figure out a solution where you can avoid the equal and opposite reaction? As our friend Lafayette said in the Hamilton song, you know, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So the equal and opposite reaction we all talked about last week, if you actually make this a policy, it can reality.
That's Brian Moynihan of Bank of America referencing Alexander Hamilton. The quote, equal, every action is equal and opposite reaction from Lafayette, from Hamilton the musical. Our friend Lafayette from Hamilton the musical said, every action is equal and opposite reaction,
mm-hmm.
which is dumb on so many levels. First of all, not to nerd out, it wasn't Lafayette who said that. It was Thomas Jefferson in the musical.
Yeah.
Second of all, why are you quoting a fictional musical? Third of all, why are you quoting a fictional musical from, what, 9 years ago?
It was like 2016, yeah.
And in that case, you were not even quoting Alexander Hamilton, who was the banker, which would make it more relevant to your case.
Yeah.
Lafayette was talking about, what, the presidency?
Thomas
Jefferson.
Yeah.
Jefferson was talking about the fight for the presidency. And finally, why would you not just quote Isaac Newton, the person who actually said that?
Because yeah.
Now you look really dumb. You look like a theater nerd for
yeah.
quoting Hamilton. Anyways, we love you, Brian Moynihan. We love Bank of America. We love Capital One. We love our credit card interest rate. Love. I'm giving you a heart. Love.
Oh, he's actually doing it right at the microphone.
Stay safe, guys. Pay off your credit card debt. Don't get it. If you can avoid getting into credit card debt, avoid it. That's a trap.
Yeah.
The credit card companies are waiting for you to get fired and you have to miss a payment.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get your money. They don't make no money when you pay off your credit card debt. They need you to fail. They need...